Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week you heard about Jesus' wrestling match with the devil in the wilderness. How the very spirit that came down from heaven at Jesus' baptism and alighted on his head for his earthly ministry immediately led him out into the wilderness to do battle against the evil one. Today you have heard how a Canaanite woman with a badly demon-possessed daughter wrestled with Jesus, just as Jacob wrestled with God on the bank of the Jabbok River many thousands of years ago. These struggles that you have heard about are no mere games. They are matters of life and death, physical and spiritual life and death. Jacob doesn't immediately know who he's wrestling with. It could have been his brother Esau. The last time he saw Esau, Esau wanted to kill him. What if it was him who had come out into the wilderness and found him? What if it was him who had come out to destroy him? Jacob wrestles as if for his very life. The devil certainly wanted to destroy Jesus and claim him as a sinner. He wanted him to bow down and worship him and give up the authority that God had given him to lay down his life, not for sinners, but for his own benefit and good. Now, a young girl's life hangs in the very balance, while her mother's faith is fighting for its very life. These are not trivial matters. These are serious matters. For the woman's part, she had obviously heard of Jesus. That's what the text says. She had heard good news of Jesus, heard about his miracles and his healing ability, about his great compassion for those who needed help. And as faith comes through the hearing of the word, it really isn't surprising that after hearing about Jesus and his miracles, that when she is in need, when her daughter is in need, she goes and seeks out Jesus, believing that he will help her. But even though this woman called Jesus Lord and Son of David, approached him in reverence and awe, with fear and trembling, Jesus does not answer her a word, not a single word. Treats her as if she doesn't even exist, goes on without even noticing her. What a blow for this woman. But faith does not ask just once and then give up. It continues to wrestle, even when a positive outcome, a victory, is beginning to seem unlikely. And so she follows after Jesus and the disciples. She keeps crying out to them. Finally, the disciples are fed up. They can handle it no more. And so they even join her cause. Lord, why don't you give her what she wants? You're being harsh. Can't you see that she's in need? She won't stop troubling us night and day unless you do something about it. This time Jesus is not silent. But he doesn't speak to the woman. He doesn't answer her. He only answers his disciples. I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Translation: this woman isn't one of us. I haven't come to help her. She's not part of Israel. She's a Gentile, an unbeliever. I wasn't sent for her. A second devastating hit for the woman. But faith doesn't ask just twice and then give up. It continues to wrestle, even when it is beginning to appear that the situation is hopeless. She continues to follow Jesus and the disciples. She enters with him into the house. She is very rude in doing this. She is not a welcome guest there, but still she follows. She kneels before him and pleads her case yet again. This time Jesus' words are demoralizing. They would send any one of us away in tears, maybe in anger. It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. In wrestling terminology, it looks like it's a pin. The match is almost certainly over. But with these words of Jesus, the woman executes a great reverse. She turns the situation on its head. "Yes, Lord, it is exactly as you say. I have no standing before you. I deserve nothing from you. I am a Gentile. I am like a dog. But then give me what the dogs get. Give me the crumbs that the children don't need or want, that they won't even miss. And I will be satisfied with those." And the champion wrestler resigns. And he praises the woman for her persistence, for her faith. "Woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you have asked." It was the same outcome with Jacob in the Old Testament. When the sun rose in the morning and the man wrestling with Jacob could not separate himself from Jacob, the man touched his hip and caused it to be out of place. This is how you know it is not just a mere man, but it is God that Jacob is wrestling with. But still, Jacob would not let go of him. "Bless me first, and then I will let you go." Jacob had learned and clearly understood that he was wrestling not with Esau, his brother, but with his Lord. And before leaving him, the Lord did bless him, with the very same blessing that he had spoken to him only a few chapters in the book before, in a dream. "I will make your name great. I will give you this land, and your descendants will be as numerous as the stars of the heavens or the sand of the seashore." The Lord wanted Jacob to ask for a blessing. The Lord wanted to give him a new name and make his name great. He wanted Jacob to remember the promise, to cling to it as if to his very life. Jesus wanted the woman to keep following him too. He wanted her to keep asking. He wanted her to keep pleading. He wanted her to wrestle with him and to win. Not for sport. Not because God is fickle. Not because Jesus was mocking her. But for her benefit and good. For her salvation and for the salvation of her daughter. Could you imagine this woman ever clinging to anything else after this happened? The one who healed her daughter of this demon possession is her Lord. A hard-fought victory. She will turn nowhere else. She had heard the word of God and believed it to be true. Now she had lived it in her own life. Jesus alone saves. Frequently it does feel like God is mocking us or playing with us a little bit like lab mice. Sometimes it seems like it's obvious what we need, but God just won't help us. It seems as though he's silent. Whether we just can't catch a break, or after so many years of things going smoothly, now it seems to all be falling apart, it doesn't matter. God's ways often seem hidden to us. Have you ever felt like Jacob, wrestling with God in the night, not being able to win, but not being able to let go? Or like this Samaritan woman, when it seems that God's purposes are hidden, or he seems content to be silent, it's not a fun place to be. It's as if his promises and his word are spoken for everyone else, but not for me. But have you considered that it's during these times, during these wrestling matches, more than any other time in our life, that God is actually testing and purifying our faith, putting it through the purifying fire to see just how pure it is? Not for some game, because faith is no game. It is life and death. But to make sure that it is really prepared for when the true battles of this life come. Can you see that he is sparring with us in a way that can't really hurt anything except our pride and our self-reliance and our holier-than-thou image of ourself? Nothing he does to us is for our harm, but rather so that when the real hour of temptation comes, we can stand firm in him. that when the devil comes spewing his lies and his filth and tries to take us in and believe his promises, that we can deflect those temptations with the Word of God and keep our eyes clearly focused on Christ, who is our Savior? Have you ever thought of your trials and temptations and struggles in that way? It makes it a little bit easier to handle. For God does hear our prayers. He hears our cries for help. He is not ambivalent toward His creation. He may delay for a time in answering, but He is not without compassion. What He does for us and to us in this life is for our own good. It is to serve the purpose of the life that is to come as much as this life. If God would have quickly answered Jacob's son Joseph's prayer to be speedily rescued from the slave drivers who had purchased him out of the well that his brothers had thrown him into, if God would have quickly answered and delivered him from Potiphar, if He would have let him out of Pharaoh's prison before it was time, then Joseph wouldn't have been in charge in Egypt when the famine happened. He wouldn't have been in a position to help his father and his brothers when they needed food. The very promise that God had made to Jacob and reaffirmed in that night of wrestling, that his name would be Israel, that he would be a great nation of people, that promise would have never come true if Joseph's prayers would have been answered in Joseph's time. But since God stayed with Joseph in all of those trials, since He was with him in the pit, and with the slave traders, and with Potiphar, and the temptation by Potiphar's wife, in the prison with Pharaoh's other slaves, since God was there in all those places, and He answered Joseph's prayer in His own perfect time, everything that God had promised came true. More than that, Joseph received more than he could have ever asked for. It will be that way with you as well. In God's time, He will answer, and it will be for your great good. The God who created time and put you under its constraints knows just what you need and when it will be best to give it to you. Do you trust Him in that? Do you believe that's His purpose? That's what He is doing when He seems silent? The good news that you have heard, as that woman heard, about Jesus is true. But the word of condemnation that He has spoken to you about your sin is true as well. You, like the Samaritan woman, are a poor, miserable sinner. You are a Gentile with no standing or even right to stand before God. But you have heard His word and believed it to be true, and you know from that word that God is merciful to poor, miserable Gentile sinners like you and me. You know Jesus came to save people just like you and me. Repent of your sins. Call it like it is and hold Him to His word. Yes, Lord, what you say is true. I am a miserable sinner. Everything I think and say and do is blighted with sin. But you have promised forgiveness for me. Your Son died for me. I trust in Him and in His salvation. Forgive me, O Lord. Cling to Him as Joseph did in the night of struggle. Cling to Him as the woman did, even after being rejected again and again. Cling to Him always when things are going great, or when things seem to be falling apart around you. He has prepared you for that day. He has given you faith to do just that. You must see in these texts that the Lord really wanted to bless Jacob and make His name great and keep His promises to him. You must see that He had always intended to be with Joseph, and that everything that He did to him was for his good and benefit. You must see that He really did want to heal this woman's daughter, that He led her along to show and reveal her faith, not only to her, but to His disciples, that she was prepared for the hour of trial. Can you see that He has forgiven you, and that He loves you too? that He is working all things for your good? For you have promised, Lord, to heed your children's cries in time of need, through Him whose name alone is great, our Savior and our Advocate. And so we come, O God, today, in all our woes before You lay. For sorely tried, cast down, we stand, perplexed by fears on every hand. O, from our sins, Lord, turn Your face, absolve us through Your boundless grace. Be with us in our anguish still, free us at last from every ill. And what God has promised You in His Word, in His time, He will do. You can be sure of it. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.